We have enough fuel to wait for the tanker. Once we make rendezvous, we can refill our tanks. Kaufman's face showed what he thought of that. And what if the goddamn tanker breaks down again? What if it misses the rendezvous? There's a big storm blowing down there. We can't sit here and wait till our tanks run dry.
The tanker is on its way, Colonel Christopher said firmly.
And we're supposed to orbit around here and hope for the damn tanker to find us?
That's right.
That's crazy.
The tanker will be here before we run dry, O.B. This is no time to panic.
So when is the time to panic? When we're in the drink in the middle of a goddamn typhoon?
A fragment of memory flashed through Colonel Christopher's mind. A legend she had heard while in the academy about a B-17 mission over Germany during World War II. With Nazi fighter planes swarming in on them, the co-pilot of the Flying Fortress screamed that they had to turn back, get away. The pilot unlimbered his service revolver and threatened to blow the co-pilot's head off if he didn't shut up and do his job. Karen regretted that she hadn't packed her service pistol on this flight.
I'll tell you when it's time to panic, Obi, she said coolly. Now keep your voice down, you're frightening the kids.
Kaufman stared at her, his baggy-eyed face a mixture of anger, fear, and disbelief.
You gonna stooge around here until we run out of fuel? He asked, his voice lower.
Until the tanker shows up, Christopher corrected. And then we're going to shoot down any goddamn missile those goddamned gooks launch.
Abel 1. Lavatory.
And there it was, tucked in behind the spare packs of toilet paper. Harry had searched the galley and the compartment where he and his team sat during takeoffs and landings, knowing that whoever took the lens assembly wouldn't stash it in such an obvious place, but looking in the obvious places first. He worked his way back along the coil's long, bulky length, sticking his nose into every corner and cranny he saw. Nothing. Rosenberg and Angel Reyes watched him with some bemusement on their faces as Harry sniffed and peeked and ducked under the tanks that held the big laser's fuel. He started back, intending to check out Taki's station. Somebody could stick the lens assembly inside one of the consoles there, or even between consoles. The assembly wasn't much bigger than the palm of his hand. The plane seemed to be turning again. Harry felt the sway as the lumbering jet slowly banked right. Again he wondered if he should ask Colonel Christopher what's going down, but again he decided that she probably had her hands full and didn't need anybody pestering her. She had made it painfully clear that she regarded Harry and his team as a bunch of tech geeks. Well, he mused, that's what we are, really. Besides, I've got my own job to do. He had to urinate. The lavatory was next to the galley, and Harry pushed through the accordion door. On an impulse, he bent down and opened the sliding door to the compartment that held the extra toilet paper and paper towels. The boxes looked jumbled, not in a neat stack. Harry pulled a couple of them out, and there was the lens assembly. Harry squatted down and stared at it, his need to urinate forgotten. In his mind, he tried to recreate the scene. Whoever yanked the assembly out of the ranging laser must have done it last night, while we were going through the pre-flight inspection. He knew the rest of us were in the plane, and he only had a couple of minutes to hide it. He could carry it down from the flight deck and right through the battle management station, even if Taki was sitting there. She'd be focused on her